This episode is brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768.
This episode is also brought to you by Oddmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade, awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this episode of Now Hear This Canby. I'm James Walton. Let's read the news. Several weeks of dialogue between officials with the city and Canby Utility have brought significant progress on the idea of undergrounding, or burying, utilities along a section of South Ivy Street as part of a long-planned improvement project, as long as Canby agrees to foot the majority of the bill. Councilors Greg Parker and Sarah Spoon raised the possibility of undergrounding several months ago based on feedback from the Canby Fire District about the importance of burying power lines at every opportunity, particularly in light of this year's destructive wildfires in Clackamas County and throughout Oregon. Canby Municipal Codes requires utilities to be undergrounded for new construction, but not rebuilding projects like this one. In late October, Canby Utility General Manager Dan Murphy appeared to signal disinterest in pursuing this aspect of the project, citing the low wildfire risk associated with overhead power lines in urban areas. Murphy proposed a compromise by which Canby Utility would allow the lines to be undergrounded, providing the city covers most of the cost. Canby Utility would also contribute the amount it would have spent on relocating and replacing poles, approximately $200,000, towards the project. The city does not yet have an estimate for undergrounding lines along the section of South Ivy, but the cost of burying existing utilities is known to be almost prohibitively expensive in many cases. In an October email to the Canby Current, Murphy referred to undergrounding as the much more costly alternative. Whatever the cost, Parker believes there is likely to be space in the city budget created by the coronavirus pandemic. Given the fact that COVID has impacted city operations, we're not doing some of the things we thought we were going to do, Parker explained at the meeting. He said he approached the new city administrator Scott Archer about exploring the possibility, with the caveat that he avoid any amendments to the budget that would impact city operations, reserves, or contingency funds. I think the key here is going to be determining what the cost certainly will be for the city, Archer said. But I would say I'm reasonably confident to tell you there are funds available, and depending on what the final cost to the city is, I hope we can make this work. Other elected officials expressed their support for the compromise. This is a monumental project for Canby, said Mayor Hodson. It would be a long, multi-generational impact if we can add this component to it, much like we did with First Avenue. I think this is one of those defining council moves, so if we figure this out, this could be a really big win. Well, it's official. The Christmas season has come to Canby. A time to deck the halls, don gay apparel, and of course, decorate a random fir tree by the side of the road. Okay, that last one may not be a tradition that you're familiar with yet, but it's one that sure seems to catch on here in Canby. For a prime example, head down Southeast 13th Avenue near the Filbert Orchard and across the street from the Timber Park subdivision. There you'll find an immature fir tree of some variety, a little wilder and less trimmed than its cultivated cousins, but bedecked in some of the most festive holiday finery around. It's the work of Teresa Sassy, owner and operator of the nearby Pudding River Chocolates, and property owner Cindy Kanegi. I have been wanting to decorate this tree for years, and finally decided, with all of the sad things going on in this town and the world right now, that Canby needed some cheer, Sassy told Now Hear This Canby. I got together with Cindy Kanegi and found that she was going to do the same thing, and we had a party decorating. They approached Canby Signs and Graphics about some colorful roadside signage that would help underscore the positive message they hope to convey: peace on earth, joy to the world, and goodwill to all. And the company was more than happy to help. You better believe we enjoyed being involved, graphic and web designer Zach Allott told NHT Canby. Given the general malaise in our world at that time, it was really uplifting to help out with messages sharing happiness and peace. Allott recalled that the same day he received the request from Sassy and Company, he had handled a run of several projects, all involving politically charged and divisive messages. Understandably, we help create signs of all kinds here and respect the First Amendment, Allott said. But it was sure a wonderful feeling to design and print signs like these. As the group was finalizing their plans at Pudding River, a couple of friends of Sassy's stopped by the shop and noticed the pile of decorations. When Sassy explained what they were for, her friends volunteered to donate the cost of the signs and also added some of their own decorations to the pile. Oh, it was a team effort, she explained. We all felt the same way. It's all about bringing a smile to someone's face. For photos, visit our website, canbyfirst.com. Most kids like to take full advantage of their birthdays each year, asking for gifts and fun experiences with friends, and few would blame them, especially during a tough year like 2020. But 12-year-old Canby resident Thomas Leishner is not most kids. Instead of asking for presents for himself this year, Thomas also asked for stuffed animals, which he then donated to the Canby Police Department for sharing with other children who had survived trauma. Thomas's generous donation follows his own traumatic experience when his father suffered a serious heart attack while the family was on vacation. That was a major thing that really affected him, explained Canby Police Sergeant Tim Green. And when his birthday came around, this is what he wanted to do. He felt it was important that kids had something to hold on to when bad stuff happens. Green was contacted by Leishner's mother, Dana, who wasn't sure that you can even donate stuffed animals to a police department, especially during a pandemic. He assured her Canby Police would be delighted to receive the generous gift. Thomas is right, according to Green. Having a stuffed animal or another item of comfort can make a huge difference for children experiencing a traumatic episode, whether it be domestic violence, a medical issue, car accident, or fire. Oh, definitely, Green said. Those can be those situations where police aren't necessarily seen as the good guys, especially with domestic cases. Anything to help us bridge that gap a little bit, just bring a little comfort to the child, it makes a big difference. You may not have thought a plush stuffy would be a standard issue for a sworn police officer alongside the badge, the gun, and the handcuffs, but in Canby, it is. Our officers will keep one or two in the trunk of their car, Green said. When they come across something that seems warranted, they hand them out. In just a few short weeks, the Canby High School Thespians will bring a beloved holiday story to life just in time for Christmas. The tale is The Cinnamon Bear, an old-time radio program that debuted on the airwaves in 1937. And, true to both the story's original medium and the coronavirus era, CHS drama students will be presenting their show not on the stage, but a Zoom line near you. We really wanted to do something before the end of the year, explained Craig Holbrook, who was hired as the high school's drama teacher and theater director just a few weeks ago. And the easiest thing to do in the short amount of time that we have was a radio show, where we could record it via Zoom, script in hand. The Zoom format eliminates the need for the show's cast of 14 high school actors to memorize their lines before opening night, which is barely 2 weeks away. We have got some really talented kids, and they are raring to go, Holbrook said. They've been without for a while now, and it's been a shame, but I'm jumping in and I'm really excited to work with these guys. The Cinnamon Bear tells the story of a brother and a sister who journey through a magic land to find the silver star meant to top their Christmas tree, aided by such characters as Patio Cinnamon, an Irish-accented teddy bear, the crazy quilt dragon, Oliver Ostrich, and even Santa himself. The story has become a particular favorite in the Pacific Northwest, especially Portland, which has the reputation of being a Cinnamon Bear hotspot. The Cambie High School Thespians presentation of the Holiday Classic will be broadcast via YouTube at 7 p.m. December 18th and 19th. For links to the show, find the story on our website, cambiefirst.com. A bicycle repair station and custom racks have been installed in downtown Oak Grove along the 6-mile trolley trail through a partnership between the community and the county. The repair station includes all the tools necessary to perform basic bike repairs and maintenance. Screwdrivers, Allen wrenches, and box wrenches are provided so that cyclists can change a flat tire, adjust brakes, and put air in tires. The bike racks feature Bike Oak Grove and Trolley Trail logos and are placed in several locations throughout the downtown area. Historic downtown Oak Grove saw an opportunity to bring new amenities to the downtown area to encourage the biking community to stop and support businesses as a midpoint rest stop on the trolley trail. With the help of the Clackamas County Department of Transportation and Development and a grant from Metro, these new custom-designed bike racks and the repair station are now permanently situated along the vibrant downtown core. North Clackamas Parks and Recreation District helped with the installation. The trolley trail, operated by North Clackamas Parks and Recreation, is a popular multi-use trail that runs from Milwaukee to Gladstone and is heavily used by cyclists for recreation and commuting. The bike repair station is the first along the trolley trail and is available to use free of charge. The trolley trail connects neighborhoods, schools, parks, retirement communities, and business districts between Milwaukee and Gladstone and completes a missing link in the Metro's regional trail system. The multi-use paved and gravel trail is for bikes and pedestrians and follows a historic streetcar right-of-way that ran in the area from 1893 to 1968.
Stay connected to what matters most this holiday season with unlimited high-speed internet from DirectLink. While the holidays may look different for many of us this year, you can always count on DirectLink's reliable network to keep your video calls, Snapchat, stories, and photos crystal clear. DirectLink is thankful for all of their amazing members this holiday season and is proud to be your local internet, video, and voice provider for over 116 years. For more information, visit directlink.coop. And from all of us here at Now Hear This Candy and our friends at DirectLink, stay safe, stay healthy, stay connected, and have a very happy holiday season.
Okay, joining us on the Cambie Conversation again is Nick Coleman, Director of Cambie Young Life. Hi, Nick.
Hello, good to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, and we also have a new guest, Dan Thomas. He's on the committee for Cambie Young Life, essentially board of directors, I believe. Is that right, Dan?
Yes, indeed, and thanks again for taking the time today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. So excited to have you guys on. For our podcast listeners, I want to apologize for any background noise you might hear. That's the sound of my kids listening to Cars 2. That's pretty much as good as it gets some days. It's either Cars 2 or screaming. So take your pick.
Cars 2 it is.
Cars 2 it is. Exactly. Well, you guys are in the midst of a virtual fundraising effort. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and how they can support what you're doing?
Yeah, that's right. We normally have an event about this time of year, but obviously with the restrictions, we couldn't do what we normally did, and But we did have a great alternative, which is to go online with an auction. And so we have, it's going on this week, an online auction with a lot of really cool and exciting items. And there's a lot of traction going, but we want to invite more people to participate and to come bid and help support Canby Young Life.
Yeah, you've got some really great items, some vacation packages that is just, I'm sure people are just dreaming about right now, even more so than we normally would be in an Oregon winter, right, with everything that's happened this year, so.
We're super excited about it, because what we've wanted to do is, there's a lot of community things there, you know, there's a All About Town, and we want to support our local community, because gosh, you know, many of these folks with, you know, restaurants and services and all of that around town are Canby support or Canby Young Life supporters. Their kids are go to club and are part of Young Life. And gosh, we just want to show our support. And so we've reached out to those folks, and we've, you know, have different baskets that showcase different things around town, around Canby, in Canby, and then of course, like you referenced, the trips that we're all looking forward to going on outside of Canby. So those are super exciting. It's not just the, you know, you'll see the baskets and those are fun, but there are also other things that you can check out as well.
Yeah, I apologize. I think I tipped the hand of my own psychology there, that I just fixated on the vacations immediately.
Part of what we wanted to come on and talk about was those vacations, because we know people might be a little gun shy about putting down money on a vacation during this time and will it be able to happen. But we have worked with this company a little bit in the past, and they've been incredibly great to work with and flexible. And some of the stuff is accessible by car or by other ways like that. So there's a lot of really great opportunities, even in the midst of COVID, for these vacations. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, there's lots of golf there as well. So if you're somebody that is going to socially distance in a warmer climate that involves maybe golfing, right? There's a lot of those opportunities as well. So we want to make sure that we can, you know, reach out to those folks that maybe like to go down south in the winter. They'll have an opportunity to maybe hit some of the courses that they've never been able to do before.
That's great. And I do love the focus on local businesses and local organizations as well. Yeah. I know that's something that's forefront on a lot of people's minds this time of year, is shopping local, supporting our local restaurants that are struggling right now. And with something like this, you don't have to choose. That's really great. You get to also support what you guys do. Speaking of which, why don't you remind us a little bit about what they're supporting with this fundraiser and the activities that you guys are doing through Young Life?
Yeah, I mean, Canby Young Life is an organization that works with adolescents here in our community. And so we've got a team of caring adults who are trained up to build relationships with kids, and kind of relationships is our keyword. And so even when we can't meet, even when our restrictions, and we've spent a lot of time figuring out what do we do next and what things change all the time, of course, we're adaptable, but also we're relationship first. So we're still reaching out to kids. We're still around, and kind of being present is our model, and inviting kids, not just to events, but inviting kids into our lives and walking alongside them, which I think, just as we all realize offhand, is more important than ever right now, with kids facing what they're facing and the isolation and how hard it would be to be a teenager right now. We're more committed to our mission than ever. That's what we've been talking about lately. And while sometimes we don't know what it looks like as far as the public facing events that we do, we're still around. We're committed to being in relationship with teenagers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just feel that, you know, it's more than ever, given what we're all going through. But imagine us as adults. I mean, it's hard enough. But like Tyler, with your kids with Nick and his family and my family, I mean, imagine being a middle schooler or high schooler right now, with everything on top of this and everything else you have to deal with. You know, we just really feel that our mission and these relationships are more important now than they have ever been.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to hear just a little bit more if you can about, because you nailed it, Dan. I can't imagine how hard it is for local youth. It's hard being a teenager anyway in today's day and age. Right. And then everything that's just compounded this year, the loss of school, the loss of sports in many ways and extracurricular activities, things like in-person for most of this year, Nick, in-person Young Life and things that they look forward to like that. Can you tell us a little bit generally just kind of how youth are doing in our community and what things you are able to do more specifically through Young Life to help support them in this time?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's two sides to the coin. One is that kids are resilient, and like we've talked to a lot of kids who are doing even surprisingly well at some times. And there's, we believe, you know, we're a Christian organization. We believe in God's grace to people, and we can see that that God is still at work and loving kids, and there are opportunities to have conversations, and maybe for some kids, slowing down is a good thing. But on the other hand, of course, there is the grief. There's mourning for the loss of things that they don't get to experience. There's rites of passage that we all remember that kids are not able to do and have been looking forward to maybe for years. There's sports, which often for kids who are involved in sports and activities, it's such a big part of their life. And so to lose that, there's a couple things that the process of adolescence and kind of if you study adolescent development, there's three big concepts that I really like to hit on. And kids deal with questions of identity, belonging, and purpose. And I think they deal with that anyway, but in a time like this, it's just everything is just heightened, right? Like, who am I in this world? And now that I don't have sports to play, who am I even more? Like, who am I if I can't do the things that I do? Where do I belong in this world when I'm isolated from everybody else and when I'm cut off from even social gatherings or going to football games or those kinds of things? And so I think it's just elevated in the end. The best things that we can do, again, is to reach out to kids and show kids that we're still there, that we are present, to be available, to check in on kids, to have conversations, to meet when we can, to have small gatherings and go out to coffee or lunch or whatever the case might be. So it's a struggle for sure to come up with new and exciting and interesting ways to do what we do, but we're, again, committed to doing it. And we have conversations all the time about the best ways to reach out to kids.
Yeah. And to Nick's credit, he's been on a ton of Zoom calls. And so you might see a little Zoom fatigue from all the conversations and whatnot. But again, that is part of the reach out and the tools that we have now, right? And so, we still want to be viable. We still want to have those relationships and reach out to our middle school and high school friends as best we can, right? And support them and their families, right? Because we know that, hey, this is a tough time for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that explains it. I wondered why when I asked Nick if he wanted to do this interview on Zoom, he started crying just for... for like a long time, Nick. It was what, like 15 minutes?
To be fair, I was already crying today, so that was
okay that makes sense. Great. Okay, well, we will share the link to the Yuletide auction, which is going on now, with the podcast notes, the show notes here. You guys can check that out. We'll also share it through social media. We'll have an article up on our website. Are there anything else you guys want to shout out? Ways that families can connect with Young Life, find out more about what you're doing, connect with you on social media, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, we're posting on social media. We've got a presence there. We've been trying to do some videos lately. So we've got at Young Life Canby for Instagram. And that's probably the best way that for kids to connect with us. And then, yeah, if you just search for us on Facebook or wherever, we're around and we're here in the community trying to be visible. So.
Absolutely. Yep.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for taking time out to tell us about what you're working on. And thank you more than that. Thank you for the work that you do for our youth and supporting families through this difficult time. I know, you know, that it's a challenge for you as well, having to adapt to a very new way of doing ministry and supporting youth that you didn't sign up for. So thank you for hanging in there with that and doing this important work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Tyler. Really appreciate it.
All right. You guys take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life. Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, joining us again is Courtney Hohensee with Marquee Hope Village. Hi, Courtney. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
And how are things over at Marquee and Canby?
Yeah, we're surviving.
Yeah.
Some days are easier than others.
Absolutely. Well, you are involved with a lot of the events that would normally happen at the care facility in normal years. You guys would have food carts out there and do stuff for Independence Day and do drive up events with classic cars and stuff like that. Obviously, a lot of that has not been able to happen this year, but there is something coming up for the holidays that you're working on and pulling in some donations from the community. This seemed pretty cool. And the first time you've tried something like this, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, like you said, it's been a rough year of a lot of cancellations, and the residents have missed out on a lot, not being able to see family and things like that. So with the holidays, that makes it especially difficult for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
So one of our favorite things every year is Christmas lights drives. And we usually drive around Canby several times a week.
Oh, okay.
And we have a full bus every time. Everybody loves it.
Wow. So you would load up the residents and just go around to different houses and neighborhoods. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Usually just in Canby because, I mean, why would we need to leave? Everybody does such a good job.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so we drive around town and we check out everybody's lights, and it's always a full bus. Everybody enjoys it. And obviously that's not something that we're able to do this year. We can't get all the residents in a bus. We can't pack them all in there. So we've had to get really creative, and I wanted to bring something to them that's just a little taste of what we normally do.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna decorate the sidewalks. It depends on how many light donations and stuff we get, how big we'll make it, but we're going to decorate the sidewalks with lights and have a special night where the department heads will stay late and take the residents around and see the lights, and we might have somebody in the Santa suit here so they can still get Santa, and I don't know, we just kind of wanted to bring something to them after a year of missing out on so much.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think it's such a great idea. I know that you just kind of announced it this week. You've probably been working on it for a while, but opened up the door to having people donate lights and things like that to really make it special for people. What has been the response that you've heard from the community so far?
It's been really positive. My phone was blowing up yesterday. So we've had lots and lots of people already offer lights. We've had people ask where they can send us gift cards to. We've had, you know, people sharing the posts. So people from that aren't even in Canby are wanting to participate and help out. So it's really encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet there are some folks that are just like, you know, they kind of gather lights over the years, and this time of year, it's getting dark and cold, and you got that big pile of lights out in the garage that need to go up. Hey, you know, Hope Village, we can just donate them and they can put them up for us and make it special for some residents. Are the residents pretty excited about this?
Well, they actually don't know about it yet.
Oh.
I kind of wanted to see, talk with the team and see what kind of stuff we could, you know, drum up. And yeah, it'll be a surprise for them. They'll probably know soon because I'll put out their monthly calendar today, but they won't. Yeah, they don't know yet.
Cool. Awesome. So do you have like an event sort of planned, you were saying, or you're thinking you might do that on a certain night with the residents to take them around, or just let them go when they want to?
Yeah. So one of the other things that we usually do every year is we have a big holiday dinner, and our kitchen does an excellent job. They make prime rib and all these delicious sides and desserts, and it's just a really cool event, but we obviously can't do it in the same way anymore. So they're going to go ahead and do that still. We're going to have to deliver it to everybody's rooms. So it's going to be in a couple weeks. I think we're planning on the week before Christmas. So if we can get lights by December 11th, that's a week from this Friday, then we'll spend the following week for a few days getting everything up. And so I think we're shooting for around the 15th or 16th of December. We'll have the holiday meal, and then they'll have a chance to go outside and check out the lights. We'll probably leave it up for several days, but we'll kind of launch it all on the same night.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to bum you or anybody out, but just want to kind of highlight how important this is, because this, as you mentioned, has been a really tough year, particularly for residents in the care home setting. You know, there's obviously they're more vulnerable to the coronavirus, so we've been working hard to try to protect that population. But that has meant the loss of, you know, like we're talking about right now, the loss of something that they really look forward to each year, all of these events that they would normally do throughout the year. Visitation in a lot of ways has not been able to happen, at least not in the normal ways, for a really long time. Are you seeing, how are the residents handling that isolation? And I imagine it's been a pretty big challenge for them.
It varies. Some days are easier than others. I think with the holidays hitting, it's getting a little bit more difficult for everyone. So yeah, like you said, they haven't been able to see their families as often, or if at all, really. Visitation's really limited, and it's outdoor and it's timed, and it's, you know, it's not the same, and we understand that. So we just want to do what we can to kind of bring a little joy this year.
The holiday season, and I guess maybe the time that comes after, can be a difficult time just in any normal year, right? With the less sunlight and kind of you get those post-holiday blues. Is that something you see in care homes as well?
Yeah, we have, we see that as well. It's hard, you know, some families don't live nearby, and so residents don't spend holidays with their families anyways. But the extra level of isolation from each other is hard too. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just been a really tough year. So I'm hoping that we can end the year on as somewhat of a good note. I know it won't replace spending holidays with families, but hopefully it'll make them smile.
Awesome. Well, I think it's such a great idea. I really appreciate your efforts, Courtney, for doing that for our senior population over there at Marquee Hope Village. Definitely encourage the community to support that any way that you can. If you do have some leftover decorations or lights that you're not planning on putting up this year, send them over to Marquee so they can make a special walkthrough or ride through, push through experience for their residents there. And yeah, Courtney, happy holidays.
Thanks, you too.
The holiday season is a wonderful time of year, but it can also be stressful, and 2020 is certainly no exception. If you're feeling a little overloaded, let the Wild Hair Saloon take family meal planning off your plate. Whether the current status allows in-person dining, the masters of takeout have you covered. Ask about their family meal deal carryout special, a double portion of chicken fettuccine Alfredo, a huge Caesar salad, big enough to share, but if you don't, we won't blame you. Garlic toast and two kids' meals with cookies for only $25. Plus, their mouth-watering prime rib dinners are available Friday and Saturday nights. Open Monday through Friday, 11 to 8 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 3 to 8. Visit thewildhairsaloon.net or call to order 503-651-4273.
Now Hear This Can Be is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Can Be by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Can Be is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.